The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, this is a marvelous exchange, really great parable. I have to say, just really a few words in light of it. Yeah, the frame of the scene is Jesus's exchange with this scholar of the law. Yeah, okay, yes, the lawyer. Okay, so he's a scholar of the law. He's having this challenge with Jesus. What is he trying to do? Because here we see, you know, halfway into the passage, he wished to justify himself. Really, he's trying to get one over on Jesus. So the setup is he's going to smoke out Jesus's heretical views, and his views to be heretical, he'd have to be saying something wrong about God, Israel, and the like. And so here, yeah, the two agree on the premise. They agree on where they should start, and what must I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus, what is written in the law? And then the summation, which is Jesus's own summation elsewhere in the gospel: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your being, all your strength, all your mind, your neighbor as yourself." Okay, you have answered correctly, Jesus says. And then here he wants to go further. The question that he asks, because he wants to win one over on Jesus: "Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" And this is a big challenge, of course, because for the scholar of the law, he believes that God is Israel's God, and the neighbor is his fellow Jew. And Jesus, already in the Gospel of Luke, it's quite clear that Israel's God is the God of the entire world. And the neighbor is anyone in need of anything. So it's that view, is quite different. We could say it's different at the root. It's radically different. But of course, Jesus is not only well established in the law, right? As the incarnate Son of God, he's giving the definitive interpretation of the law as well. So this is all then playing out in the parable that he gives. And I just want to say really one word about the parable. Note how Jesus doesn't answer the question that's asked. The parable is not a direct answer to the question, right? Because in the end, he's turned it around, where he says, not, who's your neighbor? It's not so direct, right? What he's done is he's put the man as well in a position that he doesn't want to be in, but in fact will find himself in if he continues to reject the call of Christ to the way of peace and to God's way of self-giving love. Yeah, what does he say? He says, which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim? Okay, so you think you're doing this neighbor thing, from a place of superiority. That's how he comes at the question, right? And Jesus says, well, actually, you're not doing it from the place of superiority. You're lying half dead in the ditch. And if you're not willing to recognize who your neighbor is, right, or really who was neighbor to you in that situation, if you're not willing to honor, you know, basic, say, human connectedness, then you're going to die in the ditch. And, you know, who knows about this particular person, but we know that those who reject the call of Christ are pursuing their, say, in this time, in this space, pursuing their own self-destruction. Yeah, there's those who are seeking armed rebellion against their enemies, against their neighbors. Yeah, they're of course, coveting death themselves. So this, and then, of course, when Jesus says, go and do likewise, he's asking for the revolution to take effect, the revolution that seeks, say, like the primal origin of Israel, to be God's light to the nations and to be a people set apart for God's purposes, given away in his service, which means that they are to live the total for the otherness of God, right? Without hesitation, without reservation. And Jesus is launching that revolution, and he's just called this man to that through that, I say, you know, creative turnaround. Yeah, the effect of the parable there. So it's, you know, this really the same lesson for us is to go and do likewise, but go and do likewise means allow the total for the otherness of God to be everything for us. I would call it like DNA, right? This is like Christian DNA. That be part of every molecule of our life, of our body, right? Of our manner of expression, of our relationships and the world that we are building up together. It has to be based on for the otherness of God. It has to be based on mercy. And of course, we can live so as to become expressions of God's mercy. We can live so as to make God's love flesh, because we are being loved into existence every moment of our life, right? Because we ourselves have been called by the God who is love and set apart for his purposes certainly to restore all of creation in the power of heaven, right? By having human beings animated by the power of heaven, by the power of his own life of love, we can give ourselves away in his service. And so, you know, make his mercy matter, and make his mercy flesh wherever he sends us.